RC Top 3, a weekly podcast of the top three stories from Regnum Christi. Matt Maher, Sister Miriam Hildeland, and others collaborate with Magdala in new online pilgrimage of healing and hope. Magdala is a unique Holy Land site on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Magdala invites you to join us on our third virtual pilgrimage through the Holy Land this October, themed A Virtual Pilgrimage of Healing and Hope with Mary Magdalene. We will begin in Galilee, in the hometown of Mary Magdalene, whose personal loss and suffering were transformed by Jesus into wholeness. She will accompany us throughout the month of October as we travel around the Holy Land. This virtual pilgrimage of healing and hope will be led by Kathleen Nichols, Magdala Inspiration Director and Consecrated Woman of Regnum Christi. On-site visits will be transmitted Mondays through Saturdays at 3:30 p.m. Israel Daylight Time, 1:30 p.m. London, 8:30 a.m. New York, 5:30 a.m. Los Angeles, 8:30 p.m. Manila, 10:30 p.m. Melbourne, 12:30 a.m. Auckland. Kathleen has directed two previous virtual pilgrimages through the Holy Land, available on the Regnum Christi website. Father Eamon Kelly, LC, chaplain at Magdala, will be offering a daily Eucharistic celebration directly after Kathleen's visits at 4 o'clock p.m. IDT. Father Bob Schuchts and Sister Miriam James Hildeland of the John Paul II Healing Center will be accompanying us. Matt Maher will be providing the musical content for our pilgrimage, along with songs by the RC Music Collective and consecrated woman Jill Swallow. The unique artwork of Chilean artist Daniel Cariola will be featured as well. Magdala will lead you on this pilgrimage through the entire month of October, beginning September 28th and finishing November 2nd. Please share this opportunity to encounter healing with your friends and family. Join this great crowd that followed Jesus through Galilee. Show him your wounds and witness his healing. Register online and allow Mary Magdalene to take you by the hand as we embark on this virtual Holy Land pilgrimage. Providentially uncovered in 2009, archaeological discoveries indicate the presence of an observant Jewish community, as is evidenced in its first century synagogue. Magdala was an active fishing city where Jesus likely taught the multitudes and healed the afflicted, including a woman who made her hometown famous, Mary Magdalene. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. With only 10% of the archaeology uncovered, the hometown of Mary Magdalene already provides pilgrims an authentic location to walk where Jesus taught and to connect with the first century life of Jesus' followers. Live the Mystery, a virtual convention to explore the mystery of the Regnum Christi Charism. Regnum Christi members are being invited into a deeper understanding of the beautiful charism to which they have been called. Last year, a virtual convention called Regnum Christi Live the Mystery was held in September and encouraged its participants to ponder how the mystery of Christ is made present through the charism of Regnum Christi. This convention was an opportunity to explore how to live more fully Christ's mission through the specific charism that they, as Regnum Christi members, have been entrusted with, and included large group presentations, small group discussions and workshops, and interactive exchange. This year, a second convention will be offered for all Regnum Christi members called Live the Mystery 2, The Mystery of the Kingdom. In this virtual convention, which will be held Friday, November 12th to Saturday, November 13th, participants will be invited to experience the transformative power of the mystery of the kingdom in such a way as to make it present in their own hearts and in the hearts of all they encounter. The original concept for the Live the Mystery conventions was born as a result of an international Regnum Christi identity project. With the new statutes, we felt it was very important to help Regnum Christi members everywhere dive deeper into the mystery of the charismatic gift that Regnum Christi is to the Church, and to those who are called to live out their lives as baptized Catholics through the charism, says Donna Garrett, who serves as the director of RC Life and the directory of RC Spirituality Center. Encountering Christ, who goes out to meet people, invites them into a community, forms them, accompanies them, and sends them out as disciples into the world to share his gospel is indeed a great mystery. We wanted Regnum Christi members to reawaken, or awaken for the first time, to the beauty of this God-given gift. The goal of each Live the Mystery convention is to bring particular aspects of the Regnum Christi charism into greater focus, and to provide an opportunity, through presentations, questions, and discussions, for Regnum Christi members from all vocations to explore this mystery and to encounter Christ, His love, and His kingdom through the specific charism of Regnum Christi. Last year, the Live the Mystery conference had 335 attendees, says Donna. The positive impact among all the attendees far surpassed anything we had envisioned. Jen Keller, whose Regnum Christi women's team participated in the last online convention together, shares her experience. Our team had just finished the first talk of this conference, and already my heart is burning with a fire that once was there when I first joined Regnum Christi. Oh, how easily we forget the treasure that Jesus has invited us to, this community of believers who are on the same spiritual pathway. To recall, after all these years, the moment when Christ first spoke my name and asked me to join this movement, and to realize that He is present with us in each and every encounter, this was a redefining moment. And we are only on the first talk. This year, Donna and her team have opened the virtual convention up to all members of Regnum Christi and are hoping for 1,000 online participants. To register for the upcoming Live the Mystery Conference and experience and explore anew the charism of Regnum Christi, visit regnumchristifederation.org. The price for the convention is $65, and the deadline for registration is October 30th. The 2020 Live the Mystery Conference is available online at rcspirituality.org. Lessons from the Workshop of St. Joseph by Father Daniel Brandenburg, LC. Part 11, Protector. Safety first. One of the rules in my dad's shop was that we had to put on a welding helmet if we wanted to watch him weld. The intense ultraviolet and infrared radiation from a welding arc can burn exposed skin and eyes, and Dad always wanted to protect us. We'd also put on kid-sized coveralls and gloves to shield from flying sparks, sharp metal edges, and shop grime. My dad had learned the risks from experience, and his fathering instinct always wanted to protect us from injury. This same instinct was at work in St. Joseph. The threats have been accumulating. No longer is it simply the harsh elements of nature threatening his wife and child, but visitations from shepherds and wise men have exposed their position, and even in the temple, they can't seem to avoid attracting attention. Joseph is rightly worried. The circumstances also stir up fear about his capacity to protect his family and overcome the increasing array of obstacles and enemies. Can he prevail? Does he have what it takes? Will his immense love for Mary and Jesus be sufficient to triumph in the face of such mighty foes? Reconciling the timeline. There is a slight discrepancy, though not irreconcilable, between the gospel accounts of Luke and Matthew. According to scripture scholars, Matthew's account was written first, and it talks only of the birth of Jesus, visit of the Magi, and the flight to Egypt. Luke adds the visit of the shepherds, the circumcision and naming of Jesus 8 days after his birth, the presentation in the temple after 40 days, and then has the Holy Family return to Nazareth directly. What really happened? Since Luke and Matthew had different audiences, purposes, and sources in writing their Gospels, it is not surprising that their accounts vary. Luke likely had a copy of Matthew's version before him as he wrote, so he didn't see a need to repeat the same events, and included others that he considered significant. John and Mark's Gospels mention nothing at all about the infancy and childhood of Jesus. The differing accounts are not so much discrepancies as complementary versions that strengthen the overall picture. Just as a journalist will interview multiple eyewitnesses to get a richer view of events, the composite of the four Gospels gives us a more complete view of Jesus. The probable timeline, then, was the birth of Jesus in the cave stable of Bethlehem, appearance of the angelic hosts, and visit by the shepherds to the cave that same night, the circumcision and naming of Jesus 8 days after the birth of Jesus, moving to new quarters in the milk grotto of Bethlehem as soon as possible after Jesus' birth, the visit of the wise men from the east, the purification of Mary and presentation of Jesus in the temple 40 days after his birth, with the prophecy of Simeon and the testimony of Anna. The flight into Egypt. The return to Nazareth no earlier than 6 months later. Provident protection. Matthew's Gospel relates the scene of the Holy Family's flight into Egypt in the following way. When the Magi had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Why did God warn Joseph in a dream? Undoubtedly, the threat from King Herod was sinister and imminent, so wouldn't direct communication through undeniable channels have been more effective? Why not another Simeon, or a star, or a new visitor? A dream seems a weak signal. After all, we all have odd dreams, though we rarely remember them, and even less often do we act upon them. Joseph is a singular man to be so attuned to God that he perceives his voice and will, even through dreams. God the Father knew this about the man he had chosen to be Jesus' guardian on earth, and for this reason, such a subtle channel could work. Would that work with me? Am I keyed into God's voice, or am I distracted by the world's noise? Joseph's attentiveness and swift action is what saves Jesus. Attentiveness to Jesus and acting upon his word is what saves us. Did Mary wonder why God didn't speak to her in a dream? Wasn't she the mother of the Messiah? Why was God now guiding their destiny through Joseph? Yet, as in the Annunciation, Mary's greatness is displayed in her humility, readily accepting Joseph as head of the family and her role as its heart. Between head and heart, there is no preeminence. Both need each other, and their equal dignity and complementarity lead to a healthy whole. The modern mindset, that power and position determine importance, is antithetical to a healthy understanding of self, of family life, and of society. And the Holy Family reminds us that if we would find the peace that surpasses all understanding, we must enter the way of humility. For more resources, visit www.regnumchristi.org or download the Regnum Christi English app today.